Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. This is the number one daily radio show for realtors looking for a no BS, authentic, real-time coaching experience. What's really working in today's market, how to generate more leads, make more money, and have more time for what you love in your life. And now your hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Julie, I don't think there's been a podcast that you and I have spent more countless hours preparing for than the podcast we're doing today and probably tomorrow and on Wednesday. It has been ridiculous. The amount of information, misinformation, absolutely, you know, garbage dumpster fire information that's floating around about the NAR Commission settlement lawsuit. So what we're going to be doing today, tomorrow, and probably Wednesday, oh, I bet Thursday and Friday too.
Probably.
Is we're going to be talking about this subject and this subject as it pertains to all of you. Now, our focus always has been and always will be boots on the ground real estate agents. So we're going to be sharing with you how this actually will affect your business, how it will affect how you work with your buyers and sellers. We're going to talk about how you're going to get paid going forward. All the things are going to be discussed this week on this podcast. Now, what we're not going to be talking about is a lot of the drama and a lot of misinformation. We're not going to be spending hardly any time, frankly, talking about how it relates to the big brokerages, because our audience, and the reason this is the number one listened to daily podcast for real estate professionals in the East United States, are the actual people doing the actual work who are actually going to feel the effects of this in the most profound ways. And that is all of you, dear listener. Oh, and by the way, thank you to all of you for making our podcast. It's number 23. So there's over 5 million podcasts in the world, over 5 million. Something like 2 million of those aren't really, you know, people aren't really producing content on a regular basis, but 5 million is the number. And we are number 23 in the career section. So that is a huge accomplishment. That is all because of you guys, and probably because you're finding this information, well, most definitely it's because you're finding this information useful. So Julie, let's just jump right in.
Yes, that's right. And as always, our job is to educate you, motivate you, and most importantly, get you into action. So yes, listen, tell them how they can get the notes, because there are a lot of notes.
Oh my God, are there a lot of notes? Mm-hmm. Notes upon notes. All right, so we're not going to be, and you guys should all have these notes, because you're going to have to use this information for educating your buyers and your sellers, because as we're about to share with you, there's just an absolute gob of bad information that's out there that's going to confuse your buyers and sellers. So yes, the notes are available. When you can scroll down below and you can click the link and you can subscribe to the newsletter. It doesn't cost you anything. And the reason we had to do it that way is because iTunes and others changed their rules on how much content we could put in the show description. And as you guys know, we don't hold back when we're producing content for you, including our notes. We give you the notes we use for every podcast. Every podcast we have outlines for and notes for. And why do we do it that way? I mean, we could certainly vamp and do a podcast. We don't want to be lazy. We want to actually produce really high-level content for you, because we know you're going to use that content for your buyers, your sellers, when training your agents, whether you're a team or broker or whatever. So all of our notes are in long form, are available when you subscribe to harrisrealestatedaily.com, harrisrealestatedaily.com. It doesn't cost you anything. And when you do, you're also going to get a whole bunch of exclusive content. We are in the midst of doing a lot of interviews with some of our top producing coaching clients and people from our EXP family. So yes, go to harrisrealestatedaily.com, or just scroll down below and the link to join the newsletter is there.
All right, perfect. So thank you for that. We're talking about today, as Tim mentioned, the NAR, National Association of Realtors Commission lawsuit settlement. What does it mean, especially for you, our listeners? Quick disclaimer, we are discussing the commission lawsuit, but we are not attorneys. You guys know that. We're just being careful.
Well, we're not experts, and they're just, the experts now are just really, they're diving into this thing, and they're discovering all the little hidden, you know, Easter eggs, mostly bad, from the settlement, and we're going to be sharing those with you too. But remember, the whole point of this is really what you're going to discover after you listen to these podcasts is you are going to feel a sense of relief, because you're going to realize, you know, short term, it's going to feel very different, but long term, it's going to be pretty much operating the same as it always has.
All right, let's dive in. The National Association of Realtors agreed last week to pay $418 million in damages to settle the commission lawsuits. Additionally, NAR agreed to abolish what was called the participation rule, which required listing agents to make an offer of compensation to buyer's agents. This settlement and rule changes will potentially change how future sellers and buyers transact with each other and how agents will be compensated.
It's interesting to note that the NAR settlement allows NAR to pay that $418 million back over 4 years. So NAR supposedly has assets over $1 billion. So where are they going to be getting the $418 million? I can only imagine a combination of raising dues, frankly. And also, they could probably get a 50% loan against their assets, which is mostly real estate. So
Oddly enough, they could,
I'm sure. But that's where the money is going to come from. Some of you are online. We were reading. Some of you guys were saying, how does NAR have $418 million to just pay over? And the fact is that they don't. And that's what they're going to do. So expect higher fees coming to a National Association of Realtors membership near you.
Exactly. So we will discuss how these changes could change standard practices, and we'll talk about how to have effective conversations with your buyer and seller clients in the new environment. By the end of this podcast and what has already become a podcast series, you'll understand the facts of the settlement agreement and become immune to the dramatic and incorrect headlines flashing across your screens this week. As always, we promise to educate you, motivate you, and get you into action. So I wanted to segue into what Mike wrote, because we just talked about, you're going to see, especially this week, you're going to see headline after headline after headline, news stories. It'll be on TV. There's going to be all sorts of social media posts about this.
So Mike Urban, Julie found, he's a coaching client. He's also a member of our eXp Realty group. By the way, if you guys are interested in learning more about eXp Realty, it's a perfect time for you to move up to be eXp Realty. Julie and I would be certainly honored to be your eXp Realty sponsors. You can text me directly at 512-758-0206. Tell me a little bit about yourself when you send me the text. And yes, that is my cell phone number. And yes, you will be hearing directly back from me. Text me directly at 512-758-0206 to learn more about our eXp Realty group. There's a link down below in the show description. But like I said, if you want to accelerate the conversation, if you've not yet chosen a sponsor for eXp Realty, we are officially applying for the job of being your eXp Realty sponsor, and we'd be certainly honored to be such. So just text me directly at 512-758-0206. All right, Mike Urban, what did he have to say about this, Julie?
All right, so Mike sells real estate in Massachusetts. If any of you have referrals going that direction, he's your guy. His last name is Urban. So from Mike Urban on his Facebook this morning, he says, of course, I wake up to start getting my kids ready for school, and the first thing I see is Good Morning America at it again. So this plays to the salacious stuff you guys will be exposed to this week, not from us. So Friday's narrative was that the real estate commissions are coming down. Now it's that home prices must be coming down. Well, which is it? Mike writes, then you come on and say 6% was a standard and commissions are non-negotiable. We all know that's ridiculous. He says ridiculous here. They have always been negotiated, and sellers can always choose to sell their homes themselves. If you think home sellers are going to take less for their home, you are out of your mind. They will pocket whatever they save by not having to potentially pay a buyer's agent. But what will happen is demand could fall dramatically. If that's the overall plan to lower home prices, so be it. How about you educate and empower both home buyers and home sellers instead of scaring them? It seems people are forgetting that it wasn't until early 2000s, I think it was about 1998, because you and I dealt with that too, when buyer agency was commonly adopted. And the reason it was suggested by the consumer in the first place is because home buyers didn't want the same agent attempting to work in both parties' best interest. They wanted somebody that would work on their best interest. Thus, buyer agency was created. This feels like a massive step backwards for the consumer, and it doesn't only affect buyers. People seem to keep forgetting home sellers also end up having to buy a home as well. This change affects everyone in the industry, consumers, realtors, lenders, appraisers, and inspectors. Start helping the public instead of hurting them with ridiculous claims, and importantly, get your facts straight.
Well, as far as some of the things he made or that he commented on, obviously he's, you know, speaking from the perspective of a top producing agent, which he is, and how it's confusing the public, which it is. But one of the comments in particular I thought was hilarious that we heard this even yesterday when mm-hmm. you and I were studying this, how these absolute morons are predicting that because a seller, it's just, I can't even say it, because a seller doesn't have to, you know, hypothetically pay a buyer's agent commission, that they're going to lower their price commensurate with whatever the commission would have been.
Exactly. Has that ever happened ever? Anybody come across for sale by owners, perhaps?
That would
be a good example.
Can you imagine a seller? Anyone makes arguments that sellers are going to lower their price basically because they, air quote, don't have to pay a buyer's agent's commission. They're just insane.
Even builders. So you go to a builder by yourself, are you going to get a discount because you didn't have an agent? No, you are not.
It just doesn't. It's clearly people that don't know anything about business, frankly, or have never sold a house before, mm-hmm. or just are hiding under a rock and have their own agendas. You know, there's a lot of people that have their own agendas about private ownership of anything in the United States. There's a lot of people that believe that, you know, humans shouldn't be, you know, Americans shouldn't be allowed to own real estate. I'm telling you guys, all the crazies are coming out of the closets on this one because they're all piling on. But most likely what's going to happen is, I'll just punchline it for you guys and we'll give you evidence as to why we think this way. There certainly won't be any reductions in prices. Inflation, which none of these people are even mentioning, is still on a rip. You're going to see home prices this year go up by at least 10%. The buyer's agent's commissions are still going to get paid, but they're just going to be disclosed in the MLS. The essence of all this garbanzo is that the MLS, how it's actually the cooperative commissions, Julie's getting pissed at me because I'm stepping on her points, but that's okay. The bottom line is that the actual commissions aren't going to be advertised, as it were, or listed in the MLS. It doesn't mean that there won't be buyer agents that are going to be compensated. It's just that how you go about as a buyer's agent getting compensated is going to be different. Julie.
It's essentially a change of practices.
That's what it is. That's the bottom line on all of this. But look how people are really trying to pile on and make this into something that it's not. You all have to remember and pay attention to this, because if you were around during the housing crash, the same loonies were coming out of the closets and saying very similar things as they're saying now. There are just people that have it in their heads that, you know, our industry, real estate agents, and like I said, private ownership of anything is a recipe for disaster in their minds. I don't understand why they think that way. I don't understand why so many of these people evidently are reporters. But the moral of the story is really drill down on the facts, and you're going to have to set aside the drama, and you're going to have to help your consumers set aside the drama. Get the notes from today's podcast.
There you are. So speaking of the facts, point number one, what are the terms of the lawsuit settlement? Let's get the facts down. NAR's attorneys approved the settlement agreement a few days ago. It will get filed in court, and it will be subject to court approval in the next couple of weeks. According to the National Association of Realtors, this settlement ends all of the litigation claims brought by home sellers over 1 million NAR members, all state or territorial and local realtor associations, all association-owned MLSs and brokerages with NAR membership as a principal having transaction volume of $2 billion or lower in 2022. This is going to be important in a second. It does not end the lawsuits filed by buyers themselves. Those suits are known as Batten 1, that was filed back in 2021, and Batten 2, filed in November 2023. And there are a lot of other minor ones, but those are the most prominent headline ones. By settling, the plaintiffs in the Sitzer Burnett case in Missouri are releasing NAR from the jury verdict in that case. That's the one fact that you heard about back on Halloween last year. That's when this all originally broke. In exchange, NAR will not appeal the case. So shall we stop there for a second or keep going? Okay. So I think you touched on this. Point number two was seriously $418 million. A lot of people were freaking out online. Does NAR even have $418 million? Well, remember, it doesn't get paid all at once. It'll be paid over 4 years, deposited into a trust account that the courts control. And yes, one way or another, they do have it.
All right, let's get to the important stuff. What rules changed for real estate agents and brokers as a result of this settlement agreement? And Julie's just going to read what she wrote in her notes. And remember, these notes are available at harrisrealestatedaily.com.
All right, the rules that are changing. The settlement calls for NAR to be banned from creating or enforcing any rules that allow a listing agent to set the compensation for a buyer's agent. All fields that you're used to seeing list the broker compensation will be eliminated. You just won't see it in there anymore.
Joel's worth mentioning, what was it, Pacific Northwest? One of the Northwest MLS, something like that? Mm-hmm. They have been doing it this way for quite a while.
Yes, and in fact, we have coaching clients in that area, and I've also interviewed them just to make sure my beliefs are true, and they said, I think theirs is like 3 or 4 years ago they did this. And for a little while, there was some confusion, and then they all settled into doing business as usual.
Because the thesis behind this is that the agents are actually combing through the MLS, looking for the co-op commission that offers the highest rate to them, and then steering their buyers towards those properties. I just said what the thesis behind that is. Do you listeners think that's true? Have you ever had, I mean, guys, think about what I just said. The belief is if you're coming through the MLS and you're a buyer's agent and one listing is paying 3% while another is paying, say, 2%, that you're somehow going to talk the buyer into buying the house just because it pays an extra percent for you. Have you ever had a buyer that basically was steerable that way in your entire lives? I suppose it's possible, but the reality of it is that buyers choose what they're going to buy. Buyers are going to make a decision, and you can't not show them something. They have complete access to the MLS. You know, you can go to Zillow or all these other, you know, platforms.
Homes.com, the whole thing.
Exactly. So I don't know what parallel universe these guys live in that, you know, where they believe that a buyer's agent can meaningfully steer a buyer for the sake of their co-op commission. But there you go.
Now, that's an important point, actually, because we're going to talk about it on tomorrow's show where we do a little bit of scripting. The fact that buyers go to their agents and say, I want to see house A, B, and C is going to play into our script. So that's just a little precursor for tomorrow. Okay, back to the rule changes. NAR has been specific in stating that just because they're settling, it is not an admission of guilt, and that cooperative compensation is still, quote, allowed as long as it is now off the MLS.
All right, so that is really the bottom line, is that you will still be able to get buyer's agent's commissions. It's just going to have to not be listed in the MLS. Again, Jules said it perfectly. It's a procedural change. In essence, that's what it is. But it's going to be very painful for some of you. And I'm going to, you know, all right, Julie just gave me the stink eye, so I'm not going to jump on her notes. Go ahead.
It's all right. We're still talking about basically what you said, procedural changes. Also, there is a new ban stating agents are no longer required to subscribe to MLS in order to accept commissions.
Now,
that's a big change.
I don't really know what that means. Do you?
It means you don't have to be a member of the MLS to participate in getting commissions or offering commissions.
Okay, so this is the confusing part. You have to be a member of the MLS to get access to the MLS.
True.
Okay, so is that really, I bet you, here's my prediction, that what this actually is you don't have to be a member of the National Association of Realtors. Because in some states, the MLS is owned by National Association of Realtors or having an agreement that if you're going to join your local board, you also have to be a member of NAR. And some, like, what was it, Redfin, basically decided to not, they said essentially all their agents no longer are members of NAR and walked away from National Association of Realtors. So I bet you what you just read is actually a misinterpretation of what this agreement is. And then what it actually said was that agents no longer will have to be members of NAR. That's what I bet.
Yes, but they are intertwined. They are entangled so far. For example, I just paid my dues, my NAR dues, but I paid them through the Austin Board of Realtors.
Right, so I'm
saying. For example. So yes, the disentanglement, I think, would be a better, more accurate way to put it. Now, here's the most important part for you practitioners. All MLS members working with buyers must enter into a written buyer-broker agreement. According to the National Association of Realtors, these changes go into effect sometime in July 2024. I've been hearing a lot July 1st, but we'll clarify that for sure.
Now, I'm going to take a bit of a victory lap. You and I are on this. So Julie and I have been teaching our agents to actually have formalized presentations to their buyers for since really, I mean, 20 years at least.
Since the beginning of time.
And we're in Premier Coaching, which you guys can all join for free. You can get that presentation. That presentation is Premier Coaching. We also have all kinds of scripts, all kinds of objection handlers. In essence, Julie and I did this when we sold real estate in the 90s. We had 7 buyer's agents. And the buyer's agents, at one point, we had 11. What their job was, and this is what all of you need to be taking seriously because this is the new reality, is you're going to have to meet with a buyer. You're going to have to present to the buyer why that buyer would want to work exclusively with you. You're going to have to then, you know, what we had our agents use and what we've coached all of our, you know, really hundreds of thousands of agents to do over the last forever, is that you're going to then have to have them sign your state required agency form and exclusive buyer's agency form. Now, why the hell would they agree to sign those things with you, obligating themselves to you to pay you a commission? You know, why would they do that? You're going to have to come up with a setup, and we've already done it for you. It's all in the buyer agency section, buyer agent boot camp, and the rest of it, which is in Premier Coaching. But you're going to have some specific USPs, unique selling propositions, as to why they want to work with you exclusively. And one of ours is, I'm not going to give you the exact verbiage because, frankly, it's not top of mind. But the essence of it is if you were to work with one of our buyer's agents and you didn't like the house, if you wanted to sell it within, I think it was 6 months or 12 months, a year, that we would sell it for you for free. And that's, in other words, we wouldn't charge you the listing agent commission.
It's the buyer satisfaction agreement.
That's right. Thank you. Of course you remember it. So yes, that means that if you were working with, that's it for example. So you will come up with your own, but we also offer communications guarantees. We offer, you know, other things on top of what a normal buyer's agent would do, because we wanted the buyers and our buyer agents were required to have 3 forms signed: state form, state agency form, exclusive buyer agency, and then we also wanted them to sign a buyer agency net sheet or a buyer's net sheet. Which, yes, you're going to say, well, the lender does that, but we want the lender's not going to include the extra costs, the inspections, and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, we wanted that buyer's agent to have discussed with the buyer what the real home purchasing costs were going to be. And that was going to be something that was, you know, one of the 3 things that we required our buyer agents to have signed. And that's the way we did it. And that's the way we did it every single time. And if they met with a buyer who wouldn't sign it the first time because maybe it's new for this buyer, though fortunately in this market where everyone's going to be required to use buyer agency, exclusive buyer agencies, this won't be an issue. But you will occasionally run into somebody that's going to be like, well, I'm not ready to sign it. I'm not ready to, you know, commit to anybody. Well, we would, our buyer's agents would then take them on one home, you know, shopping tour, showing them no more than three houses. And after that experience, if there was going to be a follow-up, they had to sign the exclusive buyer's agency contract. Do you guys get it? So the reality of it is the way that you approach listings, you know, the seven-step listing process we've been teaching forever, proactively generate, pre-qualify, present, negotiate, close, you know, obviously fiercely fast lead follow-up. All of those things are relevant and always have been relevant to working with buyers as well. You're going to have to do the exact same process. Some of you have, most of you, I would say, who've only been buying your buyer leads have never actually had to essentially compete for the exclusive relationship with that buyer in a formal way. It was a social experiment. It was something that they liked you, you liked them, you had a golden retriever, they had a golden retriever, off to the races. But now you're going to be required to have them sign an exclusive contract with you, just as if you were a listing agent. So what this does in a meaningful way is, before, working with buyers was mostly physical labor. And let's just be honest, it was a lot of, you know, it was easier, frankly. It didn't require as many skills, just didn't. Working with sellers, that was mental labor, lots of skills, knowing how to negotiate, knowing how to present, lots of objection handling, way more, you know, skills based on that side of the equation. Now they're going to be about the same. That's what's going to happen. And so if you're not taking your buyer's agent roles, responsibility at the highest level, if you aren't treating it like that, if you haven't formalized that, well, these new rules are going to force you to do that. That's what Premier Coaching has already created for you. And we've been coaching agents to do this for decades. That's the reason our coaching clients are like, I've been doing it forever. I don't care about the changes. They tell us that. So if you guys want to join Premier Coaching for free, just go to premiercoaching.com. premiercoaching.com, or scroll down below and click the link to join premiercoaching.com. And yes, that does include a daily semi-private coaching call for an entire month for free. So you have immediate urgent coaching. You have the first level of Premier Coaching. You can join for free. Just go to premiercoaching.com. You absolutely positively need this information. You need it urgently if you want to stay relevant. The spring market is here. By July 1st is what I read. If you don't have your acts together with regards to these things, where are you going to be making money? So you have a little bit of a window here to get your learn on. Let's take the next natural step and join Premier Coaching.
And by the way, we did not just invent this on Friday when the headline hit, right? Tim said it. As a coaching organization, we have for years and years over thousands of podcasts, tens of thousands of coaching sessions, and our real estate career ourselves advocated for, coached, and taught agents and brokers to use the buyer broker agreement and especially the buyer presentation, which you do get, it's already in existence. We didn't just write it yesterday or half an hour ago, a turnkey buyer presentation, which results in a signed exclusive buyer representation agreement. Now, together with your state promulgated legal forms, which are, I guarantee you, being revised right now, then you have honest, ethical, and transparent agreements with the buyer clients you represent. It is a more professional way to be doing business.
Now, let's drill down on this. I don't think you have this in your notes. No, you don't. All right. So, when you have a buyer sign an exclusive buyer agency contract, remember we're describing to you the USPs that we include in our buyer agency thing. I'm trying to remember what was on the seller side. You have a service guarantee on the listing side, where basically the seller, if they want to fire you, they can. In essence,
easy exit, basically.
Easy exit listing. We have something similar to that on the buyer agent side too. So what you're going to have to learn how to do is present to the buyer, get them to sign the exclusive agency contract with you. And then you're going to be essentially working with that buyer exclusively for the time frame as it's outlined on that exclusive contract. Again, this is something all of you should have been doing forever. And then what's going to do is you're going to overlay that or add on extra reasons why they're going to want to work exclusively with you. Now, if you're smart, which you clearly are because you're listening to this podcast, you're going to see this as an enormous competitive advantage to you in the marketplace, because there are going to be hundreds of thousands of brokers and agents that are absolutely going to have their heads in the sand about this, that are not listening to this podcast, that don't realize these changes are here, that aren't going to have a plan. July 1st is going to roll around, and now they're legally not going to be allowed to work with buyers unless there's an exclusive buyer agency contract. If any of this changes, we're going to let you guys know, because this agreement has not actually in place yet firm, you know, it's not actually a law, let's call it, but it's believed that it's going to be. But this is an advantage for you if you're going to be a first mover on this information and take full advantage of it and put all your systems in place. If you're a brokerage, you got to get your agents trained. If you're a team leader, you got to get your agents trained. You have to be trained. And I'll tell you the people that are freaking out, Julie.
Yes.
The people that are freaking out are the ones that are only in the business for the last 15 years or less, who have never actually had to, you know, essentially compete for a buyer, get a buyer to exclusively work with them, the whole thing. The agents that don't have, that haven't been in the industry for as long as we have huge amounts of fear because this is a change.
Yes.
But of all the changes we could have had in the real estate industry, I assure you this is the one that people will adapt to the fastest.
They're going to have to if they're going to stay in business.
Well, exactly. That's really the bottom line. This will be, you know, an opportunity for you if you start doing this now, if you get all your ducks in a row, if you have your presentations done, if you have your agents trained, you're going to be able to be a first mover in the marketplace. And again, you're going to have some really powerful USPs. Maybe you have some that Julie and I don't include with Premier Coaching that you guys can have access to. Whatever it is, get this in place now and your competitors will be, you know, frankly, falling by the wayside.
That's right. It's an interesting change to things. I've been, you know, you and I have been talking about this constantly since it happened. And also, remember back in October when the Sitzer Brunette thing hit the fan, we have podcasts about buyer agency, buyer agreements, you know, how to do that. We've already been way ahead of this. But the interesting thing is I really think that the unintended consequence of this is, in a sense, a gift to the buyer side, because now it is a requirement that you up your game, that you're more professional, you do an actual presentation. Remember, a closing for a signature is the logical ending to a great presentation. Now, you don't have to be like the only one that has a presentation asking for this signature. Now it's standard practice, just like a listing agreement has been a standard practice.
So this, let's just cover this today. So the, and I know tomorrow you have prepared for us to talk about scripts.
Yes.
We'll probably end up doing that one the following day, because I'm guessing there's going to be some more information that comes out today. But yes, we're going to give you guys actual scripts and how to talk with your buyers and your sellers. Julie wrote all of them and they're fantastic. So we're going to give those scripts to you and so you know exactly what to say. Like I said, our podcast is focused on agents, boots to the ground. We're not having these big lofty conversations about philosophical changes to NAR. We're worried about you guys, how you're going to make money, how you're going to take care of your families. And along those lines, how is buyer's agent commission going to be paid? It's really quite simple, guys. And this is the way commercials worked for a long period of time. This is the way really real estate worked before there were exclusive buyer agency contracts. Or I'm sorry, before there's buyer agency. You're going to, yes, have the buyer obligate themselves to you. But you're also then in the course of negotiating on the house for the buyer. You're going to ask for the buyer's agent commission to be covered as an expense to the seller. It's just not allowed to be listed in the MLS. Nothing says that the seller can't pay the buyer's agent's commission. That's all that's going to happen. And you're going to see a separate agreement that's going to be part of the contract, or maybe your MLS will write it in the actual purchase contract that the seller agrees to pay X percent towards the buyer's agent's commission. It just can't be listed in the MLS.
So for example, just to make a corollary, right? Because I think it's really important that what you just said, just because you don't see it in the MLS doesn't mean you can't negotiate it. For example, how many times have you seen something listed in the MLS? You're going to go show it this afternoon, and there's nothing in the description that says the seller is going to pay for the buyer's closing costs. You can ask for that. It's a negotiable item, isn't it? This just becomes another negotiable item.
But it's beyond that, Julie. I mean, we've been negotiating, agents have been negotiating forever over unsatisfactory conditions of home inspections. I mean, really, technically, you know, who pays the title insurance in your state, right? Who pays the closing attorneys in your state? Who pays for the home warranty? You guys get it?
Closing and possession dates, the whole exactly. thing, you know, and that's why I think to Mike's point earlier on his Facebook post, where somebody says none of this has been negotiable in the past, it's just been a big conspiracy theory. We all know, listeners, I mean, we're preaching to the choir here, right? But here's the thing, our final point, number four, how do you comply with the new rules and still receive compensation for your hard work on the buyer side of the transaction? That's what you are talking about right now. NAR states that buyer brokers have several ways of receiving compensation. A fixed fee commission paid directly by the buyer, home seller concessions, that's rolling it into the deal in your negotiation, or part of the listing broker's commission. Remember that asking for the buyer side commission to be paid has long been a standard practice when working with for sale by owners or builders. Most boards of realtors actually, you guys don't know this because you haven't had to use them, they actually already have forms for these types of agreements. Now it's normalizing for these standard transactions. You know, when you have a form, you're going to a for sale by owner and you say, here's your agreement. I'm going to show your house. Do you agree to pay me?
By the way, we have one of those in our Premier Coaching program. And also you can get, as Julie just said, from your MLS. Some of the rural MLSs, Julie, I'm sure don't have those.
Yes, but always defer to, if it exists in your board, you need to use board promulgated forms. If not, then you may be allowed to use your own. The point being that this is not a weird thing. It's just kind of weird right now for standard practice for some of you. Remember that agents should have all been presenting and educating buyers in the same fashion as sellers for years. Many of our listeners and certainly our coaching clients have little or no trepidation. They're not freaking out. They're just out there selling houses right now.
So let's stop there. So I want to go back to what I was trying to express before. Maybe I didn't do it as well as I could have. I want you to imagine that you are completely comfortable with presenting to buyers. You are completely comfortable with your USPs. You're completely comfortable and efficient at getting all the, you know, agency form, the exclusive contract signed, the net sheet. You're completely comfortable with all that stuff. You're absolutely brilliant at it. July 1st rolls around. Now everyone has to have an exclusive signed. And how many of your competitors are going to be completely comfortable doing it? In other words, they're going to be terrible at doing it. They won't do it. They'll screw it up. They'll intimidate the buyers. They'll just freeze up. I've never had to do this before. You're not going to talk me into doing it. Typical agent, right? And so you're going to see all of your competitors who are going to procrastinate learning what you just learned in 30 minutes, what they're going to essentially fall by the wayside. And the agents that are going, the true entrepreneurial agents, the true agent, the agents that are really going to become the new leaders in this industry because of changes like this, they're the ones that are going to really take off. So what I'll predict, and I can't see how I'm wrong about this, is it's just like, Julie, frankly, our first year in the business, mm-hmm. when we sold over 100 homes. Okay, how did we do that? What we did is we did the things that other agents weren't willing to do. We came up with USPs. We did a guaranteed home sale. We did all these other things that made it so sellers paid attention to us.
Yes.
So now you're going to be have every buyer, or rather every buyer's agents, going to have to present and sell the buyer on why they should work exclusively with them. How many buyer agents do you know that can present, let alone sell, a buyer into exclusively working with them? Think about it.
What is your value proposition?
Well, not just that, but Julie, just the very idea. Most agents choose to work with buyers because there's really no sales skills involved.
That's true.
There's going to be sales skills involved now.
It is required, actually.
It is. And if they don't have those sales skills, they're not going to get that. It's just like if you went on a listing presentation, you're not going to get the listing contract signed if you suck at your listing presentation.
All true.
Duh. The same thing's going to happen on the buyer side mm-hmm. now. That means the agents that have the, you know, skills are going to be the ones that get the listing, or rather the buyer agency contract mm-hmm. signed. This is the reason, guys. We've been telling you forever that the industry is obviously going to become less about, you know, who knows you, aka, you know, famous. All this social media, all this narcissism stuff is going to come to an end, and the agents who actually have the knowledge of getting the job done, the ones with the skills, are the ones that are going to win at levels higher than ever before.
Well, fortunately, if you still have trepidation, we can help you. This is going to be a hot topic for quite some time. I am quite certain that today's live coaching session in our organization is going to be all about this. Fortunately, backed up by the existing buyer presentation. And of course, the coaches are going to help you feel better about it, give you more confidence. You're surrounded by people who believe in you. Be one of the agents that says, you know what, this is awesome. Now this is going to set me apart. I'm going to clearly be the professional in my industry. And forget about all those agents that don't even know that any of this is going on. I'm going to make my own market. If it's meant to be, it's up to me. And yes, I'm going to rise to the top. I'm going to present. Maybe some of you have been looking for an excuse to finally pull the trigger on that. They just gave you one.
That's right. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking about scripts. But we're also going to be talking about, like, I mean, a little bit of the meat and the potatoes about the actual agreement. It's a little gnarly. Oh, you have those points ready?
No, I think I'm going to do this for
tomorrow. Yeah, let's do that tomorrow. Yeah. So some of the points of the actual agreement are, we've spent a lot of time researching this. They're kind of, honestly, it's kind of horrible, truthfully. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a big brokerage and there's supposedly around 100 brokerages that do over $2 billion, you're excluded from this agreement. So NAR basically made an agreement that the 100 largest brokers, who inevitably have the most agents, right?
Yes.
They're going to, though independents have more agents accumulatively than all the largest brokers mm-hmm. combined. But that said, the largest brokers, there's and roughly 100 of them, are excluded from this agreement.
Largest meaning they've done $2 billion or more as of 2022. Which puts them all somewhere between 50 and 100 of the big brokers.
Right. And they're going to have, there's a formula that, you know, essentially was been produced as part of this agreement that it shows shows these big brokerages how much money they'll have to come up with. And it's an insane amount of money. So most of these brokers don't have the money. So it just is puzzling to me that, you know, this agreement was finalized, or it looks like it'll be finalized, excluding the most important customers of the National Association of Realtors. But I wasn't at the table. I can only speculate as to what the motivation behind that was. But here nor there, we're going to be focusing on that a little bit tomorrow. The big takeaway from today's podcast is you absolutely positively cannot be procrastinating learning how to actually be finally essentially a high-skilled buyer's agent. It's not enough anymore to know the market. It's not enough anymore to know the local builders and all the rest of it. You're going to have to actually have the ability to present formally to a buyer, just as if you were trying to win a listing. You're going to have to think, I have to win this buyer. I have a buyer presentation. I have to explain to the buyer why they would want to work for me. We include that with Premier Coaching. The output of that is going to be your agency forms, for your state, your exclusive agency form, your exclusive buyer agency contract, which is going to be required from this guideline. And we're also suggesting you have net sheets made. Though that's going to be the output. Just as if you were on a listing presentation, you'd have the agency form, the listing contract, you'd have all the other forms that are associated with selling a house. You guys get it. Focus on what we're telling you. Do not procrastinate. This is not hypothetical. This is 50 states. This is coming to your market.
It's legal. You don't have an option. You wouldn't try to get a listing agreement signed without a presentation. So if you're thinking you're just going to slide it on in there in conversation, that is not likely to be going to work for you. You need to get the presentation, because getting the signature is the result of them having confidence in you as a result of your presentation.
And all the dumpster fire media outlets are doing nothing other than publishing misinformation about, you know, essentially what all this means to consumers. So you're also going to have to learn to clear the air with your buyers and your sellers. Oh, and guess what? This is all coming out during the spring market, when your sellers are all going to be reading the headlines and are all be wondering how the heck this affects them. You're going to have to get your skills on faster than you have since probably 2007, 2008.
That's true. And I know that there are some of our listeners who are thinking, well, you know what? Forget the buyer side. I'm just going to work with listings. I don't want this kind of stress. Well, what are you going to do when that listing wants to also buy? You are going to have to deal with it, even our strongest, most prevalent listing agents, because some of your clients are, of course, going to want to buy with you as well. So I really don't think anybody's exempt from this.
But our strongest, most prevalent listing agents will have no problem getting exclusive agency contracts signed
with buyers.
Well,
this is true, too. Yeah. So, you know, there has been, and we'll wrap here in a second, there has been a lot of talk about the number of licensees dropping. And before, I was kind of skeptical about this. I think that this, if you don't get your act together, could be a catalyst to some agents just getting out of the business. Don't you? I mean, if you don't get it, if it's too stressful, you can't handle the presentation, you try it a couple times and you got shot down. Listings are hard to come by. You're not getting your buyer signed. What do you think about that?
I disagree. And I'll tell you why. Because in the next 3 or 4 months, it is definitely going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot of, craziness that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But after that, think about this. If every agent is required to get an exclusive buyer agency contract signed, mm-hmm. Now, a lot of agents don't use those now because they don't want to lose the buyer, because the other buyer's agents don't make the buyer obligate themselves.
True.
But if everyone is requiring the same forms to be signed and everyone's requiring an exclusive, I think what you're going to see is I don't even know if the word's bifurcation, but you're definitely going to see agents with sales skills who are going to start getting a lot more buyer agency contracts signed. And you're going to see those that don't have the sales skills, thus join Premier Coaching. They're not going to get the buyer agency contract signed. But when it's like taking a listing, Julie, if everyone has to have, the agency or the listing contract signed, that means that everyone's going to have to learn sales skills. That means everyone's going to have to learn how to overcome objections. Everyone's going to have to learn how to sell, why that seller should be working exclusively with them. Same things on the buyer side. That's the difference.
So you're saying the professionalization and the standardization will have a net effect of being a good thing for our industry.
Right.
I think that's what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'll tell you who I think the net losers of this deal is going to be.
Who?
Honest. Zillow. Mm-hmm. You explain to me, given the fact that Zillow, and I'm waiting for someone to come up with, not even an economist, but somebody who's probably in the securities business, mm-hmm. one of these guys that do all these long form analysis on Zillow, for example. You explain to me how Zillow is operational when there's essentially, they're already selling listing, they're already selling your buyer leads for 40% or whatever, and now those agents are going to have to, that are getting these leads, are going to have to get those buyers to sign exclusive buyer contracts. Who's going to end up doing that? Because the agents are going to struggle getting that And considering Zillow only makes the money once the house sells to the buyer on the referral fee, that means their revenue is going to plummet unless unless they figure out some clever way of in-house getting those buyer agency contracts signed. But that's not going to be any easier than having the agent who you're referring the lead to get the buyer agency contract signed.
Sure.
So what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to count on a lot of these big teams that get these Zillow Flex leads. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to count on those big teams to talk their buyers, get their buyer's agents to get the buyer agency contract signed. But they themselves, these big team leaders, have never been in a world, have never gotten buyer agency contract signed for the most part. They're not going to be able to train their agents to do it. This is where the problem is going to be, because it's going to be such a change. People aren't going to believe it. Buyer's agents, a lot of buyers, buyer agents choose to work with buyers because it is lower skill.
Yes.
Because they don't want to feel like salespeople. Because they want to be consultant salespeople types.
Well, let's put it in real terms. It used to be for that reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you're all going to have to change. So, and it, you know, you mentioned teams, small, medium, and large teams and brokerages. They can join Premier Coaching too. We will help you. If you are one of those people who are, especially if you're busy selling yourself and you're thinking, how am I going to educate my team of 20, for example? Come to us. We will help you take care of that.
I'll tell you who I think the other net losers are going to be. Mm-hmm. Those brokers over, those 100 brokers that do over $200 billion a year.
Yeah, and they're not all like giant companies. Some of these are big independents too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And I'm honestly, those are the people that are going to be experiencing the real, I mean, you know,
the pressure.
Term. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's so sad. Because these guys don't have millions and millions of dollars. Most of these brokerages only make, these large brokerages, they make no margin, no money whatsoever on the actual home sale. They no real estate commissions actually turn into profit. They make it from ancillary, like mortgage. Mm-hmm. So if you look at these largest brokerages that are doing $2 billion a year in volume or whatever, they're the ones that are going to get screwed. They're the ones that don't, they don't have millions of dollars to pay for settlements, let alone attorney fees. What are they going to do? And you're looking at probably a lot of these guys that are doing over $2 billion. They have hundreds of agents. Mm-hmm. So they're going to do one of two things, I think. Well, they're going to magically come up with the money, which I don't think very many of them will.
Unlikely.
Two, they're going to go out of business and just cast their agents to the wind. Or frankly, I think what a lot of them do, what I would do personally, and you and I talked about this, is I would absolutely move my entire operation over to eXp Realty. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why.
Why?
And yes, it's self-serving because Julie and I are with eXp Realty, but explain to me, listener, how this wouldn't be the smart move if you were one of those large brokers. You move over to eXp Realty, and let's say you have 1,000 agents, and you move over, and let's say 750 move over. You know, you're not going to keep them all. Some of them don't sell real estate. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. Those agents affect, you are no longer the broker. You are no longer responsible for them. You are no longer responsible. And I'm not an attorney. I'm not telling you how to, you know, get out of litigation. I'm just saying this would be my business move. You are no longer, you are essentially no longer in charge of that particular agent. There's another broker that's going to be in charge of them, another broker that's going to, you know, deal with all the, you know, midnight calls about panic over this or the panic over that. But you're still going to receive revenue every time that agent sells a house through eXp's revenue share program. So if I were one of these large 100 large brokers, absolutely positively what I would do is I would move over to eXp Realty and I would do it urgently. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you've set up your corporation in such a way that if you have a building or whatever or buildings that, you know, those are not part of the actual real estate brokerage, and then figure it out with your attorney what to do next with regards to this litigation. But the next natural move for all of you, if you're not sitting on a pot of gold and you don't want to have to go through years of litigation, is to seriously look at eXp Realty. Julie and I have done the math countless times for large brokers, and it always makes sense. A lot of the reasons that the brokers are hesitant to move over isn't because it's not financial sense, isn't because they know it's not the smartest thing to do. It's a lot of times because they don't want to feel like they failed. So the nice thing about eXp Realty is if you were, you know, ABC Realty and you wanted to move over to eXp, you could still essentially keep your brand. You effectively would feel like you were moving up. You're essentially selling. I'm not going to say selling because that isn't really what you're doing. You're evolving your brokerage model to the next natural step, which gets you out of the hot seat and still keeps you in a position to continue to make revenue. For sure, that's what I would do.
Yes, again, to emphasize, without losing your brand, because that is a hot button for, especially for some of these bigger independents that have, you know, really worked to build their name. You can keep that.
And I would do that. I would do that even if you weren't one of those top 100. I would do that for any brokerage right now. I would take a hard look at it.
Especially them, but anybody.
Well, it's because, look, we can agree that commission compression is real. We can agree that, you know, buyer agent commissions are falling. We can agree that the expenses are rising. All these things are true. So your margins on your buyer agent side, even if you're on a team, they're basically getting eviscerated. They just are. So you need to be thinking 12 months, 24 months, 36 months into the future. Are commissions going to rise, fall, or stay the same? Ask that question right there. You know, are things going to become more onerous or less onerous? You come up with your own answers. Now, if you can have all the benefits of your real estate brokerage or your team, i.e. the revenue share, you could get a portion of the revenue that your agents earn, not just those agents that you were to bring over, but all the agents they ended up, you know, sponsoring over time. How would you not be better off? Chuck, who is out in Arizona, okay? Mm-hmm. So he brought over a brokerage that had several different commission plans, but the essence of it is, I think it was 800 agents. He's making so much more money off revenue share now than he did on his brokerage that it's not even funny. I talked to him about it when we were in Dallas. Mm-hmm. There's no question that it was the smartest move for him. It's all math, and we can show you exactly how the math would work for you. So if you're if you're in a situation where you're tired of the stress, you're not seeing essentially a clear path forward, let's at least have the conversation. Text me directly at 512-758-0206. 512-758-0206. We're going to be talking a lot about this this week and probably intensely for the next few months. We're going to do everything in our power to make it so whatever comes to the real estate industry, you guys are way ahead of the curve and you're prepared. We are going to give you the scripts, the techniques. We're going to tell you not just how to survive, but we're going to tell you how to thrive. We're going to tell you how to thrive at a higher level than you ever have before in this industry because of the changes. We're going to use these changes, these things that are causing fear in other people, as a strength for you. So stay tuned to our podcast every single day. Thank you for keeping this number one listen to daily podcast for real estate professionals in at least the United States. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk with you on the show tomorrow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.